So how have you been doing, church? It's been a long time since I've been here. My schedule has radically changed, and so I'm not here on Wednesday nights either to greet folks and to pray with you and things like that. And I miss that, but yet because of the schedule that I'm carrying with Ellicott and here, I'm teaching self-confrontation here on Tuesday nights and other things. It's been a challenge. And so Robert and Eric decided that I could be free on Wednesday nights. But I pray you're doing well. Ellicott is doing well. God, he just shows up in a marvelous way. And being excited about that and being excited to be used by him and see God work in people's hearts. Is it a little bit of a different culture? Absolutely. But it's fun. It is just such a joy to be out there. And I want you to know that Rocky Mountain Calvary really met a need when they were called to be able to purchase the building out there and to be a light in that area. And we have folks coming from Yoder and Rush, Calhan, as well as within Ellicott, a few folks from the Falcon area as well. And it's just a joy to minister there. And like here, as pastors out there and pastors here, we just yearn to be used of God and to watch him work in people's lives, to see how God's word and God's spirit just works in a very, very dynamic way. We have had the joy of folks coming to know Christ as Savior. We have had the joy of baptizing folks out there upon their profession of faith. And it is just such a joy to see God work within the community. God has opened up the door with the school there in Ellicott, and we get to go again January 6th to minister again to the teachers and staff. And it has just been a blessing in so many ways. This past year, we did the Thanksgiving baskets out there again, and we ministered to 50 families. And what a joy that was to have them come and to just pray over them, love them, encourage them in every way. When Eric... when Ken Graves was here, he went out to Ellicott. I don't know if you knew that, and ministered that weekend out there. And it was such a blessing to have him there. And I have to admit, because I had a few vacation hours left, I took a vacation. But he was just such a true blessing. And so when he found out he had a few vacation hours left here at the end of the year, he asked me to come here this weekend, and I was more than glad to do that. You start praying, because you're a different flock. And for just a moment in life, God has entrusted your care to me. And so what do I teach? Because it's not on our plan. Eric and I have so much fun planning the teaching schedule, and you should be in those meetings. We just have such a ton of fun doing that. And we go. And just wanting to end the year on a note of encouragement is something that God laid on my heart. I went through the Gospels and praying over different areas, and, Lord, what would you want me to do? And as I went, God said, "Hey, Rich, stay in the Psalms. They're good. They are sacred songs." And what we've done out in Ellicott, on top of that, not only do we identify each one as a sacred song, but they are windows of faith. How we should walk in life. You go through the Psalms and you see the psalmist experience everything in life, just like you and I do. the tragedies, the heartaches, the loneliness, every aspect, the celebrations of who God is. And so the Lord has laid on my heart for you and I to consider what it means to live expectantly in Christ Jesus our Lord. What does that mean for you and I? What will that look like in our lives? What should it look like in our lives? You know, for each of us, we are born with expectations. We always have expectations. The expectation that mom and dad are going to care for us. You know, for me, coming from a very broken home, I began having the expectation that somewhere along the line that would stabilize. You know, and it didn't. But that's okay, you know. But that was an expectation. I love sports, and so when I was a sophomore playing baseball, our team made it to the sectionals in New York State, and we were playing against a team whose pitcher was outstanding. We knew we had a ton of major league scouts there to scout him. And, you know, he averaged almost 20 strikeouts a game. So my expectation was not to strike out. I batted third in the lineup, and he struck out the first two guys on 7 fastballs. You know, he just blew them away. And so I dug in to face him, you know, and I'm going to put the bat on the ball some way or another. And you know what this guy does? He throws a curve. Sets me right on my butt. I laugh. I get up and I say, "That's not fair." And the umpire says, "No, it's not, but it's still a strike." Yeah, expectations. Diane and I married at 18. I went into marriage as a lost man with expectations. You know, I enlisted at the age of 18. Vietnam's going on. And so I enlisted with the expectation of defending our country in any way that God would want me to. You know, our first child comes along in 72. And yeah, I had great expectations. You know, then our second child, our third child, our fourth child. By the time our fourth child arrives, now I understand that God has expectation of me because I have now trusted Christ as Savior, and life has changed. Expectations. Now walking within His calling, His expectations for my life. You know, Eric presented to the pastors about the potential of Ellicott, that they had put in a purchase offer that had been denied, but now talking to the whole group of pastors, sharing with us and sharing that if any of us would feel called, they would put in another purchase offer. And I'm sure I wasn't the only one, but after a time of prayer, I felt I could be called to that ministry. Again, with that calling in God's life, having expectations to meet God where He is working and desires to work in people's lives. Just like Sean going down to Chihuahua, you know, Darwin and Annie going to Cusco, Peru, you know, the Nalis in Uganda. And everywhere we go, they go called of God with expectations that God's going to use them in a powerful way. I invite you this morning to open to the 96th Psalm and let's learn and celebrate the kind of expectations that God would have for you and I. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, thank you again for your goodness to us. Thank you for the wonder of your love. And Lord, as we just pause here in these 13 wonderful verses of Scripture, Lord, how I pray that you would just take us and encourage our hearts. And Lord, if we've lost our hope, that you would restore it. if we're living apathetically, that you would give us back our zeal. If we're living in complacency, Lord, that you would energize our commitment through the power of your Spirit. If we're living in brokenness, would you restore? If we are living in a way that just is gliding through life, would you give us purpose? Father, let this beautiful psalm fall on fertile soil in each of our lives for your glory and your glory alone. And might we learn how to live expectantly for your glory, knowing you yearn to meet us where we're at. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. This psalm springs out of 1 Chronicles 15 and 16. And if you go there in verse 16, the ark has been brought back to Jerusalem. They are doing the dedication of the temple where the ark is. And David gives this psalm or part of this psalm to Asaph. Parts of that psalm there in 1 Corinthians 16 are highlighted in Psalm 96, 97, 98, and 100. These beautiful psalms that we have. And I want you to know David is a young king that lived with expectation during the difficult times. Remember, he was ordained as a shepherd boy when everybody thought he was too young and everything else. Then when he grows up a little older and he is serving Saul, he had the experience of seeing God remove his spirit from Saul, and only him playing the harp would calm his heart. Later on, Saul, knowing that he was going to be king of Israel, all of Israel wants to kill him and actually throws a javelin at him by himself, and so he runs and flees from Saul. And he's on the run, but yet he lived in expectation. One day, because God has purposed this, I will be king of Israel. He was on the run for some 9 years. You know, even had to feign being crazy because the Philistines were after him. And yet he was a man that lived with expectation. He had the heartache of his very best friend dying in battle, fighting alongside of his dad, and yet he was a man that lived with expectation that God was going to do a work in him and through him for his glory. He becomes king, and he realizes the ark isn't around, and so let's go get the ark and bring it back so that we can worship God the way God wants us to. And you know that he had to go through a difficult learning experience there because they tried to transport it not God's way right away. And Uzziah dies because he reached out and touched the ark, trying to prevent it from falling on the ground. And for the new king of Israel, that had to be a hard, hard lesson. But yet he lived expectantly, really believing that God desired to minister in him and through him for his glory. This psalm really captures his heart. And I am convinced of this. When God's people, God's children, live expectantly, others notice. And they want to know why and how we walk through difficulties, how and why we celebrate Jesus Christ, whether it's his birth, his resurrection, but we celebrate him all the time. Psalm 96 captures what needs to be happening in your heart, my heart, for us to live this way, expectantly, knowing that God yearns to use us for his glory. If you're here today and you are a child of God, please say amen. Oh, wait a minute. I left my hearing aids home. If you're a child of God, please say amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, that singular thing ought to resonate in our hearts and lives, that we have a Heavenly Father who has equipped us with talents and gifted us with spiritual gifts in a way that you and I must understand that each and every one of us who just yelled out, amen, we have a purpose, a divine purpose that God yearns for us to fulfill. And it doesn't matter what we do. And this psalm captures that. It captures that you and I not only have an identity as a child of God, as we just sang about, but that he is a good, good father and that he yearns for us to walk with him in a profound way. Notice what he says first, right there in Psalm 96, verse 1. It says, oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name, proclaim the good news of salvation from day to day. You and I are to raise our voices, declare his glory, verse 3, among the nations, his wonders among all people, praising him wholeheartedly. As we look at these first six verses, that's what God desires for us to do, to worship him, to praise him in our lives. Sing a new song. You know, I got saved into to a church that were still singing through hymns. And, you know, I want you to know that every single hymn was a new song. For me, you know, the folks that worship there, they knew them all. They had their favorites, you know, and things like that. And so I'm kind of stumbling along and singing, you know. But I learned to love songs. I loved music before salvation, and God never removed that from me. And so learning new songs is something that I enjoy. I know this. I can live in expectation when I get to heaven where I'm going to be singing songs that I've never sung here. You know why? Because I'm going to be in his presence. I will see him face to face. And the joy of that. You know, Diane and I are blessed with three daughters, four children. And I'm not sure if my son-in-laws sing, but I'm sure if they're not paying attention to the words, they'll get an elbow in the side. But just kidding. You know, but just the joy of knowing God. So I don't know if you sing or not, but making melody in your heart is what God calls us to. Celebrating who he is and the magnificence of who he is what you and I are called to do. For some of you, we're going to sing a new song this morning. And some of you, because it's an older song, you know, you might remember it. But let's sing it. Let's rejoice in it. The praise and worship team here, Billy and everybody, they yearn for us to see the magnificence of our great Lord and to bless him and to proclaim the wonders of salvation in our lives. When you and I live in expectation, God marvelously opens up doors for us to proclaim who he is. We don't have to go looking. Because we're living expectantly, faithfully following him, he will give us opportunity. I was down, and there's a little cafe marketplace in Ellicott. Maybe you've been there. It's called El Bronco. They make the best tacos. They're so good. And they're gluten-free, so I can eat. And they take care of them. And, you know, and I've got to know those folks, and on occasion, I try to go there at least once a week to have lunch, and I'm having lunch, and you know, people are coming. I'm saying, hi, how are you? And one of the folks walked by and said, you're that new pastor. Yeah, well, yeah, I guess so. You know, and standing from a distance, we had a great conversation. You know, so everybody there heard. He didn't come and sit down at my table. But we had a great conversation of why we are there. And I believe that the community now, because it's been through so much brokenness, are realizing that we're there to stay. And we're there to care for and love on a community that is filled with brokenness, just like Colorado Springs. And to share the love of Christ and to reveal the love of Christ and to live the love of Christ. That ought to bring joy to our hearts to where we want to sing. You know, I read about a man by the name of Rick Husband, and I don't know if any of you have heard that name, but he also was a man that loved music, and he would always be singing. As a young man, he lived in expectation. He always wanted to be a pilot, and as he grew in his faith and things like that, and as he would sing, soon he's flying fighter pilots for our nation, and things like that. He had expectations and desires and designs that from an early age, and he couldn't help sing and praise our God because of all that he is in our lives. That means you and I have to have fertile soil here where he can work in our hearts and lives. Notice how it continues on, verse 4. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared, honored above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. You know, in God's word, we just get a glimpse of that in Revelation and all that is there and the wonders of what we see and what John saw in heaven. And you and I get a glimpse of that. And someday we know that we will see that face to face and rejoice within that, the crystal sea, whatever that is, you know, his magnificent train and the colors of it. You know, I've been to a lot of beautiful, beautiful weddings, but that one's going to be the best because he is the bridegroom and I'm a part of the bride of Christ, and that's going to be something spectacular. Living with expectation, knowing that what our future holds and celebrating all that he is because he is great. He is Lord of creation. He is majestic and beautiful and wonderful, and wanting to honor him in our lives. That takes a teachable spirit for you and for me. I'm sorry I missed some time after salvation because I did not have a teachable spirit. Oh, I can do it on my own, God. I'm saved. It's okay. Well, how wrong I was. Wanting to grow in his grace so that the joy of my heart, no matter the trauma, no matter the pain around me in my circumstances, God would still be God, majestic and holy, and I could worship him. Not only praise him with our voices and sing to him, but worship him. Notice what it goes on to say in verse 7. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering. Come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. When you and I look at this, you and I as his child need to understand he is God Almighty. He is the everlasting Father. Ah, and the wonder of that. He is the wonderful Counselor, the Prince of Peace. All of those things are true, and he is filled with holiness. Shame on us when we think that we can live our carnal life and somehow just attach God because we say we are saved to our lives and somehow think that we are bringing glory to his name. How do you and I do that? You know, that's something that I had to learn, you know, being an adult before being saved. How do I do that? Well, what's the first great commandment? I heard it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Every fiber of my being needs to love him. Now, is that only on a Saturday night or a Sunday morning? No, it's every moment of every day. Yearning to walk in his grace and mercy and love every moment of every day so that not just my words love him, but my life is revealed as a life loving him. Living with expectation. That's what it takes for you and I to grow in that relationship as his dear child. You're here today, and I don't know your hearts, but I want you to know God knows every one of our hearts. He knows every aspect of it. He knows whether or not you are truly saved or not. He knows whether or not you're walking with him or not, whether or not I am. He knows our heart. He knows your pain. He knows the fears that might hold you in bondage. He knows all of those things, and he yearns to minister to you right where you're at. And it takes worship. You know, when we read those words, give, 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 give an offering, guess what? The best offering you and I can give God is to be that living sacrifice that would be described in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, allowing our hearts to be transformed and not conformed to the world. The offering that he wants is your life, my life, in a passionate pursuit of all that he is in life. Why? Because he is God and he loves us. He is our Abba. He yearns to minister to us and to bring healing where healing is needed. Notice how it continues on in verse 10. He is worthy of our worship. Notice what in our offering, verse 10 says, among the nation, the Lord reigns. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. He shall judge the peoples in righteousness. First, you know, the Lord reigns. He is Lord of lords and King of kings. He is in the reality of that and living within the reality of that, celebrating the reality of that. He is a sovereign God. You know, I sat back for years and wondered why my early life, A, without Christ, never going to church and all those kinds of things, was so traumatic. But you know, I know now he was in control even during those years so that it would equip me to do what he's called me to do. It would be used within that. You know, I can sit down with a foster kid and I understand what they're walking through. You know, I went to 13 different schools. And the only thing that kept me going was my love of sports, to be perfectly honest. And I learned never to make friends, even on the teams. Now, I was a team player, don't get me wrong. But why make friends? I'm just going to end up someplace else. You know? And I don't mean that as a sob story. I'm just telling that's the way life was. But now what God can do in me and through me to help healing and restoration for that kind of a broken life is very real. It happens that way. He is who he is. He reigns, and his world is firmly established. It shall not be moved. He shall judge the peoples righteously. You know, we read in the New Testament a number of times, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess what? Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. You know, and it's going to be all of us. And if we look at the Corinthian passage, we're going to give an account for what we've done in this life. You know, he yearns for us to live expectantly. He wants to do great things in us and through us, even now. You know, we live in a crazy, chaotic, violent world. That is true. But God yearns for his people to celebrate him and to grow in his grace in a profound way, making a difference within this world. You know, we moved out here 8 years ago, and you got that mountain out there. You know, I know it's called America's Mountain, but to me it's God's. It's all his. Out in Ellicott, we have a young man that helps out there, serves out there, worships out there, he and his wife. And he works atop of the mountain right now. He runs a crane building the new station up there. And you should see the sunrise pictures he has that he's experienced. Because he has to get up there early and get the equipment going and things like that. They are just marvelous. He is God of all creation. He spoke it into being. And all of God's people said, You know, when we came out from back east and to be here with our daughter and son-in-law and to visit them and things like that, and they live out east a little bit, and we're away from the city lights and things like that, and I would just be in awe of the open sky and the stars at night when we would be here to visit. And one time when I came out, and he is in the military, and he brought these high-tech goggles, night vision goggles, home, and he knew it was going to be a clear night just so that we could see something different. Now, they're quite spectacular without those goggles, but once I put those goggles on, boy, there had to be at least 20 times more stars that I saw. The sky was really full of them, and God created it all for you and I to enjoy, for you and I to see his reality. The creation of life will bring that. You know, Rick Husband, in loving God and doing that, being a pilot, one day he got accepted into the astronaut program. And yes, as an astronaut, he got to see creation through a whole different lens as he would look out the window of his spacecraft and just enjoy it so much. Verse 11 goes on to say, "Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea roar and all of its fullness, let the field be joyful and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the woods will rejoice before the Lord." All creation celebrates. Even though it's groaning under the weight of sin now, it celebrates how great its Creator is. And you and I ought to live expectantly, praising Him for all that He has done, worshiping Him because He is worthy in our lives. I don't know if you know this, but when you are in space, they all sleep at the same time. I guess they put the shuttles on automatic pilot or something like that. And they get to be woken up with a song of their choice. And one year, Rick Husband decided to let his wife, Evelyn, choose the song for him on the day that was scheduled for him. She chose a song called God of Wonders. I don't know if you've ever heard it or not. It is a song that first impacted my life and something that I began to cling to in life. Well, not only did she choose that, but they had a very good friend who is a Christian artist and singer by the name of Steve Green. And they allowed Steve Green to come in and actually sing this song for them. Now, I want you to think about this. Here's a shuttle that's embarked upon doing all of these experiments. And I actually met somebody last night who was a part of tracking this shuttle within its course of being there. And it brought to memory a lot of things to him. And he never heard that Evelyn invited them to use a Christian song to wake him up. All the peoples, think about that. All people's groups all around the world are to celebrate. All people's groups, like I'm admonishing and encouraging us today, ought to celebrate who God is and to live expectantly rather than in bondage to the circumstances of the chaos around us, but to live expectantly. Our God's a great God, and He's going to show up, and He's going to do great and mighty things. The worship team has graciously graciously accepted the challenge to sing a song that they had never prepared for to sing, just to share with us this beautiful song called God of Wonders. And I'm going to invite the worship team up. And I'm going to ask you to stand. If you have children, don't go running. We're not done yet. But I want you to celebrate this song. And if you don't know it, just read the words. But if you do know it, like I do, I'll turn off my mic, but I'm going to sing along.
Lord of heaven.
why should you and I, as his children, if you know Christ as Savior, live expectantly? That's found in verse 13, a verse I didn't read. It says, "For he is coming. For he is coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth." You know, he is coming again, and we cannot lose sight of that fact. He loves us. He will return. His church will be raptured. I don't know where you are in your relationship with Christ right now, but stop living in fear if you're living in fear. Stop living in bitterness if there's bitterness that has taken a deep root in your life. Stop living in callousness and complacency. You and I, because we have everything, and he has promised us as a good father to meet every need in our lives, to heal everything in our lives here, now, and you and I can rejoice in who he is. If you've never trusted Christ as Savior, let today, this bitter, cold day, be the day that the Son of God becomes your Savior. And if you're here today, no matter what the pain, no matter what the failures, no matter what the successes, no matter the brokenness, live expectantly for his glory. We have pastors on both sides. They are there because they live expectantly, wanting to see God do great things in each of our lives. If you need prayer, go to them. Our Father and our God, thank you for this beautiful truth. Might our hearts be truly yours, and might we learn how to praise you in all of your glory, worship you with every fiber of our being, because you are God. Lord, you know the needs of every heart here, and Lord, when the worship team starts the last song, I pray that you would motivate them to come and seek prayer. And lay it at your feet, because you care. For it's in your Son's name we pray.